It's not what the will is. It could be a negative will. It could be a will to mope and sulk. But in the end of the day, that's my will, and I want you to respect it. That's what the Torah is referring to over here, not whether I hold myself in high regard. That's not the point. The point is, I don't want my will to be disrespected.
This is Rabbi Levi Leibowitz, inviting you to join me for a new discussion in our continuing series called Living to Grow. Let's share some time unpacking some important ideas, which I hope will inspire and add to your spiritual growth.
Welcome back. We are continuing to delve deeper into the Torah's view and the Torah's expectation of us when it comes to our interpersonal relationships. It all begins from the pasuk of V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. You shall love your fellow like you love yourself. Like I mentioned last time, the Torah doesn't say love your fellow as though there's some expectation that the other's needs or the other's will supersedes my will. That's not the point. The point is that it should be like the way we love ourselves. Just to the same degree that we would want others to interact with us, we should interact with them, right? Which means that I begin for myself. I dig a little deeper into who I am and what makes me tick. And being a normal human being, it's very important to me that what I want to see happen isn't disregarded. Not always does it have to be fulfilled. And that's a mistake that we make. At times we think that the only way a person's will can be regarded or respected is when you do it. No. Stop. That's not the point. We have to sort of separate between action and appreciation. Action and respect. Yes, of course people want their will to be fulfilled, to be executed, of course. But there's also an understanding that that doesn't happen all the time. But what they never want to have happen is that their will is disregarded. Many people ask the following question. The Torah says, love your fellow like you love yourself. But what if you don't love yourself? How then can you fulfill the mitzvah? I think the question is a mistake. Because if love means to care for someone, to appreciate someone, to hold them in high regard, and just give them a big hug, then yes, there are many people that will not give themselves that hug. They will not take care of themselves. They don't think highly of themselves. That's correct. But if love means respecting one's will and not disregarding that, that is something that is universal to all human beings. It could be that my will is to be depressed, to be sad, to be down, to mope and sulk. And when you're going to come along with your positivity and smiley face, I'm going to punch you in the nose because that's not what I want right now. That's possible. But the point is that I have a will. It may not be a positive and productive will, but I have a will. That's what the Torah is referring to over here, not whether I hold myself in high regard. That's not the point. The point is, I don't want my will to be disrespected. So now, the Torah tells us, just like you don't want your will to be disregarded, your will is sacred to you. Likewise, don't disregard the will of someone else. Give it significance. Give it importance. I've shared this idea with a number of people, and the first thing they jump to is, so does that mean I have to do what they want? No, you don't have to do what they want. Even someone who is going to harm themselves, which of course we're not going to assist in that, but before we do what it takes to stop them, we can also appreciate that they have a will. It's a big point. Wherever the person is at that moment is sacred to them. Now, it may be my responsibility to save them, for sure. But that doesn't mean that overrides or negates the fact that I also, together with that, need to appreciate that this is where they're at and this is what they want. This is their will. You have to be able to hold on to both of these things at the same time if we want to then interact or communicate with other people and sort of separate between the two topics. One is appreciating that they have a will. The other one is whether that will is right or wrong. We're so quick to jump to whether it's right or wrong without first appreciating that there's a will. I see it all the time. It's everywhere. We're not pausing for a moment to take in that this person wants to operate in this way, wants to behave in this way. And then what's our responsibility? No, it's all collapsed into one. So as we continue this journey of becoming closer or more connected to someone else, we're going to have to separate between whether their will is right or wrong from the fact that they have a will to begin with. Now, what does the Torah want from us? Why does the Torah want us even to consider the other person's will? It's a real pain in the neck, especially when we think their will is wrong. Meaning, oftentimes, the reason why it's hard to appreciate their will is because of our opinion about the will. Now, I did just say that you have to separate between the two. But this is a real work over here. What's the benefit? Where are we going with this? Where we're going with this is in the direction of what we call godless. Godless comes from the word gadol, which means big. Godless is usually translated as greatness. What does that mean? Before the Torah instructs us in the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael to love or to appreciate the will of someone else, I'm very small. Because my world is me, myself, and I. And anyone else around me that disturbs or disrupts my world is just wrong. So my will is sacred and everyone else is just wrong. I'm a very small person because I can't expand myself to incorporate others into my world. It's a very, very narrow world. The Torah wants godless. The Torah wants bigness. The Torah wants us to extend, to expand, to stretch ourselves. That's what the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael is doing for us. I think we will all agree that had we not been instructed or commanded in the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, our world would remain narrow and we'd be fine with that. Comes along the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael and says, no, a Jew does not remain small or narrow. A Jew becomes big, expansive. We're like this rubber band that the more that we stretch, the bigger we become. But if you don't stretch it, it remains narrow. The mitzvah of Avas Yisrael has us stretch and expand ourselves. How does it do it? By having us appreciate the importance or the significance of someone else's will, even though we disagree with it. We don't like it. We hold it to be wrong. And this is what's so beautiful about Torah. The Torah isn't coming to say, how do you know that you're right? Who said? You're so haughty. You think so highly of yourself that you're always right and the other person's wrong. No, the reality of being a human being is we have an ego. And we do think we're right and the other person's wrong. Comes along the Torah and says, even though you think the other person's wrong, you can still appreciate that they have a will just like you do. You see, the beauty of Torah is it doesn't go against your nature. It expands your nature. Our nature is, yes, we think we're right. That's normal. And that's okay. But although you think you're right and the other person is wrong, you can still include that other person in your life. This is the most important message in marriage or in parenting. Because you are going to be around other people, either a spouse or children, who you disagree with their worldview. Of course, there's tremendous admiration and closeness. But there are going to be times throughout one's marriage or throughout one's family life where other people in the home are going to do things very differently than you think they should be done. Does that mean to say that your opinion doesn't matter? No, your opinion matters a lot. That being said, Are you able to stretch and expand yourself to include that just like you have an opinion, the other person has an opinion? This muscle is from the most important muscles out there, and it's not easy. It's not going against our nature, but it's not easy. It's not what we would naturally gravitate to. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we think the other person is wrong. So how can I agree with someone who's wrong? And the answer to that is, they may be wrong, and you may be 100% right. They still have a will. You know, Rabbi Akiva described the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew as a klal gadol batorah, a great principle in Torah. Why is that? Because of this fundamental midah, this fundamental characteristic that we have to adopt for ourselves. We can exist in an environment where we disagree with the views of other people. I think if you look in the Talmud, there may be one or two arguments over there. I'm joking. There's hundreds of arguments in the Talmud. Maybe thousands. I don't know. But it's like the MO of Gemara that there's going to be disagreements. They're going to argue with each other. But the way that we argue isn't that the argument makes us more distant, but on the contrary, it brings us closer to each other. How is that possible? Because the more that I hear from you, your opinion, the more there is for me to respect about you. I could hold that you're 100% wrong, but I see that you have a will and you're passionate about your will. And as a person, I can relate to that and I could become closer to you. When the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuos, the Talmud's explanation of their death was they did not conduct themselves with respect one with the other. It's not about agreeing. It's about respect. I can respect you as a person and your will, although I totally disagree with you. And that's 100% fine. In the Talmud, we're talking about disagreements that are life and death issues. They're going to have tremendous ramifications. So I better not be wishy-washy in my opinion. I have to be 100% clear or confident in my opinion. And what that means is I hold you 100% wrong. Even still, where's the respect? There's got to be respect. And on the contrary, Chazal tell us that the way we argue in Torah is that in the end of the day, we become lovers of each other. We cherish each other even more than we did before. The respect only grows, it doesn't diminish. That's how a Jew lives with others. Now, I'm not trying to minimize this thing. This is very, very difficult. But we have to see the picture of the way it works. There's a disagreement in what's right and what's wrong. And at the same time, there's a respect and appreciation for the other person's will. So this is the next step over here. First step was the other person has a will. Now we have to get to the place of appreciating or respecting that will, even in circumstances where we hold the other person as 100% wrong. There are more steps to come, but this is the first step over here. Being able to separate between the opinions we have and how we disagree and the will inside the person that we can cherish and admire. Join me again as we embark on a transformative journey of self-discovery, rediscovering the beauty and richness of our tradition. If you'd like to reach out and contact me directly, or you'd like to help support this and other projects, you can email me at llibovitz, L-E-B-O-V-I-T-S, at vodproject.org, vod spelled V-A-A-D. Thanks for listening.